The Lord comes up to this man he had healed. And he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And I love his reply. "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" I've entitled this message, "Do I Know Who He Is?" Do I know who he is? If I know who he is, I will believe on him. All who know who he is believe on him. And this is included in knowing who he is, loving who he is. If I do not love who he is, I really do not know who he is. Do I know who he is? I'm not asking, do I know that I'm saved? I'm not asking, do I know that I'm a Christian? I'm not asking, do I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins? I'm not asking, even, do I have faith? I'm asking this, do I know who he is? Now, before we get into our text, in John chapter 1, we have a beautiful illustration of what this means in the thief on the cross. When he was first nailed to that cross, he did not know the man beside him who was nailed to the middle cross. But during that time, he came to know who he was. When he said, "Don't you fear God?" How did he know that Jesus Christ was God? Because everybody that knows who he is knows that. Everybody who knows who he is knows that. He said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Have you been around him all of his life? Can you certainly know that he had never done anything amiss? Yes, I can, because I know who he is. He's incapable of doing anything amiss. He's impeccable. He's perfect. He's holy. He can't do anything amiss. "Lord, remember me." How did he know he's Lord? I mean, he didn't look like Lord, did he? He was nailed to a cross. Everybody had forsaken him. How did he know he was Lord? He knew who he is. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. "Remember me when you return in your kingdom." Now, how do you know that he's going to return as a mighty reigning king? Because I know who he is. It's that simple. He can't fail. He can't be discouraged. Whatever he intends to do, he must do because of who he is. "Lord, if you just remember me, nothing else will be needed." How do you know that? Because he knew who he is. That is the very foundation of faith, knowing who he is. And everything we believe is predicated on us knowing who he is. For instance, why don't I believe in free will? Because I know who he is. No man is going to be able to trump who he is. No man is free from his sovereign purpose. The reason I don't believe in free will is I know who he is. It's ridiculous to even think of something like that in the knowledge of him. I know that everybody he died for must be saved because I know who he is. He's incapable of failure. Whatever he intended to do, he does. This is his person. We know who he is, and everything we believe is predicated on knowing who he is. Now, in John chapter 1, John bore record of who he is. John chapter 1, verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" Well, let's just look at this chapter. I'm not going to spend much time on anything, but this chapter tells who he is perhaps more clearly than any other passage in all the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. He is the Word of God. What is in my mind, my thoughts, are only expressed by the words that come out of my mouth. He is the thought of God. He is the expression of God. When God speaks, this is the word that comes out of his mouth. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He's the express image of God, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, the image of the invisible God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Literally, face to face with God. Don't you love thinking about that? Throughout eternity, beholding the face of God. And if you know who he is, you know this is so. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to try to convince you of it. If you know who he is, you see, salvation is knowing who he is. That's the very foundation of faith, knowing who he is. You young people, the most important thing that can ever happen to you is for him to tell you who he is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. And if you know who he is, you know that so. Somebody that doesn't know that, it's because they don't know who he is. He is God. Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God." Who is he? He's eternal. In the beginning, he already was, because he's eternal. And anybody who knows him knows he's eternal. Now, we can't grasp eternity. I realize that. When I start thinking about how the fact that he never began to be, that he's always been, there, he never had a point in which he came into existence. He's the eternal God. Only God is eternal. And if you know him, you know he is eternal God. Never had a beginning. Verse 3. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." If you know who he is, you know he's the creator. "It was he who said, 'Let us make man in our own image.'" Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." That covers everything, doesn't it? "Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." And he's before all things. By him all things consist. And if you know who he is, you know that's so. He's the creator. He's the one who spake this universe into existence as an act of his own will. Verse 4. Who is he? In him was life. He said in John chapter 5, for as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. You know what that means? How dependent are you to continue to live on so many things outside of yourself? Breathing, eating, these are things that come outside of you. We're totally dependent on him. But do you know he has no needs? He is absolutely independent. He has life in himself. Utterly and completely independent. No needs at all. You know what that means? He does not need me or you. Me and you need him. But he does not need you and I because he has no needs. I love John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His life is the only life that God will accept. And if I have life before God, it's his life before God. He's the source of all life. I don't care if it's a one-celled amoeba, if there is such a thing, I'm just pulling out words, or if it's an angelic being, he's the source of that life. He's the source of plant life. You know, we can make a pretty good representation of what a plant looks like, and it can look alive. Now, Lynn says she, but I said, that looks real. She says, no, it doesn't, but it does to me. But one thing I can't do is make a living plant. Only he can do that. He's the source of animal life. He's the source of human life. He's the source of spiritual life. He is life. He is the life. And if you know who he is, you know he is the life. You know that so. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, not only is he life, he is the light of men. Now, I know exactly what that means. That's talking about there in John chapter 8, verse 12, where he said, I'm the light of the world, right after he said to that woman who was taken in adultery in the very act, and there wasn't any question with regard to her guilt. He said, hath no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, how is it that he could say, I do not condemn you, when she had committed adultery and everybody knew it? Because there was nothing to condemn her for. That, my dear friends, is the great mystery of godliness. That is the gospel. He is the light as to how God can look at me and see somebody without sin and without guilt and be perfectly pleased with me. The only light there is the light that the Lord Jesus gives us. He is the light of the world. And if I know who he is, I know that. Look in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, if I know who he is, I know he's the one the world doesn't receive. If I see the world going after a religious figure, I know it's not him, because the world has no love for this one we're preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ. The world doesn't receive him. He came unto his own received him not. They didn't believe who he is. Now, if I see if I preach a sermon, for instance, that the world goes after and says, that's the greatest, we love that, I didn't preach the gospel. You can write that down. Didn't preach the gospel. He's the one that the world doesn't receive. He's the one the world doesn't love. And if you know him, you know that so. And I know when the one I'm hearing preached is not him, because I know him. You know, I can hear preaching, and that's not him. That's not him. How do you know? I know him. I know it. And that is not him. When you know him, you recognize when what you're hearing is not him. He gives you that discerning ear. But that comes as a result of knowing him. Look in verse 12. But as many as received him. He is the one we receive. Willingly, gladly. Oh, we're so thankful. We receive him because he gave himself to us. This act of reception, I know religion makes that the act of salvation. He wants to save two people. One receives him, one doesn't. And the one who receives him, he's the one who saved. That's foolishness. If you didn't receive him, it's because he never gave himself to you. But he is the one we receive. We bow to, we delight in, and we love. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now you know that if you're a son of God, it's only because he gave you the power to become the son of God. That's the only reason. You know that because you know him. I mean, this stuff is grade school stuff, isn't it? I mean, it just comes naturally. Yeah, that's true. The reason I receive him, the reason I'm his son, is because he gave me the power to become the son of God. And we know what receiving him means, even to them that believe on his name. We know his name is who he is. We know his name is every one of his attributes. He's so glorious. Everything about him is altogether lovely. We love his sovereignty. We love his holiness. We love his justice. We love his immutability. We love his power. We love his wisdom. We love his independence. Every attribute of God, we love. We love his name. That's the name we call on to save us. We know him. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Now, if you know him, you know the Word, God, was made flesh. Now, you've never seen him in the flesh. And if someone claims to have seen him in the flesh, they're lying. No one knows what he looks like. I can't wait to see his dear face. I look forward to that. I want to see him, bow before him. But right now, nobody knows what he looks like. But we do know this. He was made flesh for this reason. I'm flesh. And the only way I can be saved is if he took upon flesh and became like sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh, but he became like sinful flesh. And in the flesh, he worked out a perfect righteousness for me. In the flesh, he suffered to put away my sins. And in the flesh, he was raised from the dead. The Word was made flesh. And if you know him, you know him as that, the God-man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, the only begotten of the Father is mentioned five times in the book of John, a couple of other places, in other epistles. But this only begotten of the Father is a reference to his resurrection from the dead. That's what Acts chapter 13 tells us. The only begotten, this day have I begotten thee. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. And Paul says that's referring to his resurrection. If you know him, you know that his resurrection is the only ground of your confidence. You don't have it, and your conscience is satisfied with that. When God raised him from the dead, God was completely satisfied with what he did. And if you know him, you know that God raised him from the dead, and he is my salvation. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness of him. Now that is what I want laid to our charge more than anything else. John bear witness of him. I wouldn't want to be somebody that bears witness of anything else. I want to bear witness of him. And if you bear witness of him, you bear witness of all things. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." This is the witness John bore because he knew who he was. That's why he said what he said. He knew who he was. Verse 16, "And of his fullness." Boy, there's a lot that could be said about that, isn't there? And I wouldn't know how to get into it all, but there's nothing about him that's part of his fullness. Fullness of sovereignty, fullness of holiness, fullness of omnipotence, fullness of wisdom. I mean, everything he is, there's a fullness of it, a completeness. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. And Paul put it this way in Colossians 2:9, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And you know, if you know him, you know that so. You're mystified by it. You worship him for it. You see his glory, but you know this is so because you know him. "In him dwelleth," resides, "all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him." Verse 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You see, if you know him, you know that so. "No man has seen God at any time." Verse 18. "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Knowing who he is, we know he's the declaration, he's the exegesis of the Father. So much so that the Lord said, "He that has seen me," what? "Hath seen the Father." He didn't say, "He that seen me," it's as if he had seen the Father. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Do you know all I'm ever going to see of God is Jesus Christ? God is spirit. God the Holy Spirit is spirit, immaterial. The only one we'll see in heaven is Jesus Christ. He is the declaration of God. "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Now, the Lord said to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can you say that? If he said to you, "Whom say ye that I am?" Thou art the Christ. God's prophet, the very word of God, God's priest, the priest of God's providing that can come into God's presence and cause everybody he represents to be accepted, God's king to make God's will be done. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." Now, if you know who he is, here's the one reason you know who he is. The Father revealed him to you. What a thought. The Father revealed him to you. If I don't know who he is, it's because he's never revealed himself to me. Look in verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed, he denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." Now, this is simplistic, I suppose, but it's very important. If you know who he is, you know you're not him. You're dead sure of that. If you know who he is, you know you're not him. John did. He said, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "No." "Are you that prophet?" "No." Then said they unto him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I'm the voice. My name is not important. I am a voice crying in the wilderness." There's only one name that's important. That's the name that's above every name. The name at which every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, at the name of Jesus. That's the name. That's the only name that can bring me into heaven. His name. You know what I thought about John the Baptist calling himself a legacy? I mean a voice. What he's saying is, I'm not trying to leave a legacy. I'm not trying to leave something behind that people say, "Well, look at what John did." You know, I could care less about leaving a legacy. I'll be dead. What will I care? John the Baptist didn't care anything about that. He said, "I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the path of God." Let's go on. Verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you that you don't know. He it is whose coming after is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Now, if I know who he is, I know that even untying his shoes would be an honor far above me. Do you know that? If you know who he is, you say that with just as much conviction as John did. The one whom the Lord said, "Among them that are born of women, none have risen greater than John the Baptist." Here was his take on it: "I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe." And every one of his people are in agreement right there. How come? Because we know who he is. That's the difference. We know who he is. Verse 29. Next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." All who know who he is know him as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God's providing. The Lamb that God provided a way for himself to do something for me. God the Lamb. And we know that the only way our sin is taken away is by him. He's not the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world if we fill in the blank. No, not at all. He's the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. He took away my sin. It's gone. That's because he took it away. You see, I know who he is, and he is incapable of failure. If he intended on taking my sin away, you know what? It's gone. It's gone. I may feel it, think it, doesn't matter. It's gone because he took it away. And everybody who knows him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All your hope is right here. It is finished. He took it away. He was manifested to take away our sin. In him is no sin. It is finished. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's always reminding us of the eternality of Christ to let us know that he's God. He never had a beginning. And I knew him not. You know, if you know who he is, you know there's a time when you didn't know him. There was a time when you didn't know who he was. I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now, if you do know him, it's because he was manifest to you. Verse 32, and I'm going to spend more time on this next week, Lord willing. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with the water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody says, what in the world is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because there have been more horrible, evil things brought out of this. It's looked upon as a step to perfectionism, a second work of grace. If you know him, and let me make this real simple. If you know him, you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something about the Spirit of God. He shall not speak of himself. That's what the Lord told us. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll take the things of mine and show it unto you. He shall glorify me. Now that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anybody who knows him, they have been baptized with the Spirit of God. They've been regenerated. They've been born of God. That's how they know who he is. You can't know who he is apart from the glorious work of the Spirit of God in you. And John says, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord? Well, here he is. This is who he is. And you know what? Yes, I do believe on the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you for your Son. How we thank you for the revelation of his person. How we thank you of the completeness of his salvation. How we thank you for the beauty of his person. Lord, how we thank you that you were pleased to make him known to us. How we thank you for your Spirit and being baptized into your Spirit so that we see who he is, that we know who he is, we trust who he is, and we don't want anything but him. We simply want to be found in him. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, cause everybody in this room to know who he is by revealing yourself to them. And Lord, we know that when by your grace we know who he is, we will believe on him. Create faith in each heart here, according to your will. In Christ's name we pray.